Well, good morning. How you doing this morning? Wonderful. I'm going to move this up just a little bit. Maybe I'm not as skinny as Bryson, but I didn't want to I need a little room. Well, we are in week six of our series, 40 Days in the Word. And really, we've covered a lot of ground through this series. I mean, going all the way back, the first week we talked about why we can trust the Bible. We went through how Jesus changes us through the Bible. Last week we talked about an in-depth method to study the Bible called SOAP. Scripture, observation, application, and prayer. If you missed any of those weeks, you can always catch up online at eastlakechurch.com. And I'm excited today to kind of really put a cap on this series. And to close it out, like Bryson said, next week we're going to have a lot of fun. We have a special service planned, so all the elementary and kids and students will be in here with us. So we're doing a few things that's kind of including everyone. So today is the conclusion of this series, even though if you're doing the reading plan with us, we do have a week longer of the reading plan. So just because the series finishes today doesn't mean you can stop reading the next 6 days, okay? You got to fulfill that, if you're doing that. But really, throughout this series, I've been praying for every single one of you. I said it the first week and kind of reiterated that a few times, but honestly, I love God's Word. I love the Word of God. And Jesus has changed my life over and over and over again through reading His Word. So I've been praying for each and every one of you that throughout this series, you would get just a renewed passion, a renewed excitement, or a brand new excitement about reading God's Word. Because He has some amazing things in there just for you, for your daily life. You know, our goal throughout this series has been not that we just learn things about the Bible, but our goal through this series is that each one of us encounter the living Word, Jesus, through the written Word of Scripture. Our goal is that we open up our hearts and we encounter Jesus in a new way that changes our lives. So today, as we conclude this series, what we're going to be talking about is, okay, we talked about the Bible, Scripture, kind of what it does for us, and today is, how do we live this out? Like, how do we walk this out in our daily lives? Recently, or a little while ago, we were hanging out with some friends, and I was driving in the car with the dad of this family, and they have three kids as well. And I was driving the car with the dad and his kids, and the dad said something that the son didn't understand, and he says, "Pardon?" And then a few minutes later, his dad said something that he doesn't understand again from the back seat. His son goes, "Pardon?" And then I said something a little while later, and he goes, "Pardon?" And I was like, man, I told him, I said, "I love that your son says pardon. Like, it's so polite. My kids just say, 'What? Dad, what? Dad, what?' like all the time. I'm like, it's driving me nuts." And he said, "You know, our kids were the same way, and it was just bothering us. So we spent some time training our kids to be more polite because we were tired of them saying 'what' all the time. So we taught them to say 'pardon.'" I was like, that is genius. We are starting that in the Headley family. Like, as of that week, we're starting to teach our kids to do this. And if you go hang out with them, hasn't taken yet, but we're hopeful, you know. But what they did is they have a value for their family, a value of being polite to others, and they've trained their kids to live out this value. Now, throughout Scripture, we see all kinds of values on how we can live in the kingdom of God. And it looks a little different than what our culture tells us and what normal life looks like outside of God's kingdom. But today, you can fill this in, the first thing on your notes. The big idea for today is this. My goal is to not just get into God's Word, but also to get God's Word into me and live it out. The goal is to get the truth of this book inside of this heart so that this person looks and loves more like Jesus. The goal is to live out the Scripture, not just to have Bible knowledge, but to walk it out day to day. You know, last week, one of the things we said was that general goals don't lead to specific changes. If we just have a general goal, well, I'm going to start being better, that doesn't lead to any specific changes in our life. So we want to have specific goals that lead to specific changes. So as a church community here at East Lake Church, we have seven values that are specific goals. They're specific action steps that we live out as a church community. But these seven values, these seven goals that we're going to talk about today are not just for our church community collectively, but they're also for you individually. I mean, these are seven action steps we've taken directly from Scripture that if we live these out personally, we are a mature follower of Jesus. If we live them out collectively as a church, we will continue to be a healthy and thriving church. You know, one of the things that we say a lot around here, we ask a question. At the end of every message, every single week, we say, what is your next right step? What is your next right step with Jesus? What is the next step he's asking you to take? He's encouraging you in. So today, as we talk about these seven values, before we get into it, I want to ask you to just internally have that conversation going with the Holy Spirit. Just have that on your mind. What is my next right step? As we walk through these values, there might be one particularly that sticks out in your mind. If there's one that you really like kind of resonates in your heart, that's probably what the Holy Spirit is talking to you about taking your next right step in. What is your next right step? So the first thing, we're going to talk about these seven values that we live out. The first thing that we do, we live out God's word by, number one, rejecting religion. We live out God's word by rejecting religion. Now, that may sound a little funny considering you're sitting in what most would consider a religious service. So what do you mean you're going to reject this whole thing? Yes, absolutely. We're saying, oh yeah, to be a Jesus follower, don't ever come to church. No, that's not what we're saying. By religion, what we mean is any system of belief or behavior that we put between us and God. Any system or belief or behavior that we have placed in between us and God. That is religion. You know, we, humanity, have tried to create our own stairway to heaven. We've placed all these rituals and practices and regulations that if we follow them to the letter, and we've been doing this for centuries, that if we do this and we do that and it all, we do it completely and we do it right and don't miss anything and we don't forget and we don't follow and we do all this, then we can earn paradise. We can earn heaven. If we are good enough at all this stuff that we place in between us and God, then we can achieve eternity. That process, that thought process is religion. Because the truth is, we can never earn it. We can never do enough. We can never be religious enough. But there is this God who loves us so much, and he is greater than any system we could create to try and reach him. And he instead reached down to us. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. He rose from the dead so that we didn't have to earn our way into eternity, because he already paid the price. He already did all the work for us. God, in his grace, provided the answer that religion has been asking for centuries. So, we reject religion. We reject the idea that we have to earn our way in. We reject the legalistic, rule-following religion that says we have to do certain things in a certain way or we don't make it. Instead, what we do is, living out Scripture as a church community, individually, we embrace grace. We embrace the gift of grace from our Heavenly Father. We embrace that Jesus paid the price. He did everything that needed to be done for our salvation. See, God doesn't love you because of what you do. He loves you because of what Jesus has already done. Jesus takes away all sin, and he makes all things new. You don't need to do anything to make God love you. He already loves you. There's nothing else for us to do to be forgiven or to earn it. That's why religion is the enemy of the cross. Because religion is trying to be good enough to kind of pay God back for all the mistakes we've made. And we can't pay him back. He's not asking to be paid back. He already paid the price for us. Romans chapter 7, verse 4, we read it here on your notes or on the screen. When Christ died, he took the entire rule-dominated way of life down with him and left it in the tomb, leaving us free to marry a resurrection life and bear offspring of faith for God. So we reject religion and we embrace grace. Number two, we live out God's word by encountering Jesus. We live out God's word by encountering Jesus. See, Jesus has extended this invitation to every single one of us. He has invited us to encounter him in a real, tangible way over and over and over again. We don't just encounter Jesus one time when we choose to follow him, but he's made himself available for us to encounter him over and over and over again. We are to encounter him continually, to practice this. But in order to do that, it takes an open heart, it takes time, it takes energy, and it takes attention. This past week, Our kids have been talking about going camping, and so we decided that before we like go out and tent camp as a family, we're going to tent camp in the backyard, so it's kind of like safe. If they go crazy, we can just walk inside, you know, the few feet that's there. So we get everything prepared, we set up the tent, and I was like, we're going to do this right. Like, we got the fire pit out, and I was prepared to like cook everything on the fire as if we were camping, and then someone suggested we go get pizza at a restaurant, so I said, that sounds great, and then we'll go home. So we got home, like, we got the fire pit going, everything, and then, Brooke had read somewhere online that you can make popcorn on an open fire, and I was like, that's awesome. So we took the foil out, and we got foil, and then we poured some oil in it and some popcorn kernels in it, and we made like this makeshift, or I made this makeshift bowl thing out of the foil. And I was like, hey, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. We're going to act like we're out here camping all night, like no one's going inside. I mean, except for Brooke, who slept in the bed all night. You can talk to her about that later. She did a few days later sleep in the tent, and I was like, ha-ha, see, it sucks. Like, it's terrible. You don't sleep at all out there. Before we camp, we're going to get some air mattresses, all right? So we're out there, and the popcorn's on the fire, and the kids are having a blast. We got music going, like we're partying, driving our neighbors crazy probably because it was, like, super late, like 9:05 at night, you know? That's super late to, you know, some of us. So, like, we're out there, and I just wasn't paying attention. I wasn't paying attention to the fire. Like, we had made these banana desserts thing where you slice open a banana, but you leave it in the thing, and you put chocolate chips and marshmallows inside the banana on the fire. It was awesome. Like, so good. But I wasn't really paying attention to the popcorn. Then we weren't listening for it, because popcorn you should listen to when it starts popping. And then all of a sudden I look down, and this whole foil is just engulfed in flames. And I'm like, oh, the popcorn. So I put an oven mitt on and I grab the popcorn. So now I'm holding this, you know, foil full of popcorn that is on fire. And I'm holding it over the concrete. And I'm like, it's not going out. So I start shaking it and think, that's not a good idea. So I put it on the ground. Then I stomp on it. Needless to say, the popcorn was completely ruined. So we tried again. And we ruined it again. So then we tried again. And we ruined it again. So we thought, you know, that's enough. Three times, we should probably read how to do this correctly. But really what happened is, you know, our attention was elsewhere. Every single time, it's like we couldn't just simply focus on the popcorn and listen, so we burned it every single time. Our attention was on something else. We got distracted, and so we missed out on our real purpose with, you know, or at least trying to pop the popcorn. You know, we position ourselves to encounter Jesus when our attention is on him. When our attention is elsewhere, we're not positioning our hearts and our minds to encounter Jesus. You know, we come to church each week, and the purpose of being here is to, as a church community, collectively, to encounter Jesus. But we can walk in and have so many other things on our minds, so many other things on our hearts, that we're not even positioning ourselves to have an authentic encounter with Jesus. We read scripture to encounter Jesus. We worship to encounter Jesus. We go to growth groups to encounter Jesus, to be, you know, our small groups, the environment. We do all these things to encounter Jesus, but if our hearts and our attention are not on him, and we're not fully present in that moment, we're going to miss out on an encounter with him. We live out scripture by encountering Jesus over and over and over again. And when we encounter Jesus, what happens is we receive his rest. What we do is we learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Jesus says, are you tired? Worn out? Burned out? On religion, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. We live out God's word by positioning ourselves to encounter Jesus, by putting our attention on him. And when we encounter him, we have this live freely and lightly. Number three, we live out God's word by, number three, living lights on, windows open. We live out the word of God by living our lives with our lights on and our windows open. What this, you know, really, it can be characterized by one word: authenticity. Living lights on, windows open is being committed to honesty with God and honesty with others. We don't hide who we really are. We don't shy away from the fact that none of us are perfect. And we say it here all the time, no perfect people allowed. Because none of us are perfect. We don't shy away from that. We live authentically. We take off the masks. We turn on the lights. We keep the windows open. You know, a number of years ago, I was really dealing with some deep depression. And I didn't really know what to do and where to turn. And we were actually on vacation. We were going to a different church, the church that I grew up in, actually. And while we were there, I just really felt like there's a gentleman there who I knew loved God. And so I went up and I just began to talk to him and said, hey, I'm struggling with just depression. And I'm just sad. And I just kind of described this whole thing and kind of laid it out because I just felt like I had to tell somebody. And I wanted to tell somebody who knew Jesus and who could pray with me. And then instantly, he began to share with me how for years he struggled with the same thing. It's like I had known him my whole life, and I never knew he had struggled with anything like that. Because I was a kid, and he was much older than I was. He was an adult at the time. And I didn't know any of that, but as I began to share with him and open up, I was like, I'm not alone in this. He began to talk with me, and through discussions with him, I began to see a way out. And we came up kind of with an action plan with him through prayer and some different things and some different things we were going to implement in my life to move past that. And I could honestly say years later, like, I don't deal with that anymore. But it was because I was open and honest. I shed light on it and sought out help with someone else. I decided that, you know what, I can't live as if I'm one way, but actually I'm another way. So I opened up and experienced this freedom. Living out Scripture is not faking it. Living lights on, windows open means we don't play a role. We don't wear masks. We're not phonies. We're not hypocrites. We don't pretend to be something we're not. We are who we are in all of our failings, and we know that Jesus has his grace, and he's going to help us get better at life, but we're not going to be fake about it. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 9, he writes about this idea. He says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. I just want to pause for a second. We're only fooling ourselves. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but a lot of times when we think like we got it all together and we go somewhere, like we're only fooling ourselves. Everyone knows, like, you don't have it all together. Like, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Living lights on, windows open is being completely honest before God. Saying, God, here's me. Messed up as I am. Living lights on, windows open means we practice confession to God for our sins. We practice being open before God of what we've done. We don't try to conceal our mistakes. Part of living lights on, windows open is also having honest conversations with others. Lovingly confronting others when we've been hurt or we've been wronged. We offer forgiveness to each other. We make allowances for each other's faults because we are all flawed and we all make mistakes. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, he says, if a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell him. Work it out between the two of you. If he listens, you've made a friend. If he won't listen, take one or two others along so that the presence of witnesses will keep things honest and try again. Living lights on, windows open. Living out Scripture means we live authentically who we are. We are honest before God. We are honest before others. Number four, we live out God's word by, number four, connecting in community. By connecting in community. You know, we cannot live out God's word in isolation from others. Faith is a team sport. God created us to be connected. He created us to be in relationship, in community with one another. So we live out Scripture by not trying to do it alone. By building relationships, by building friendships with other believers that can encourage us, that can help us in this journey. We motivate one another. And we don't neglect meeting together because we know the power that comes when we are together in relationship. The power that comes when other believers are in our lives encouraging us. But also we understand the danger of being disconnected, of being by ourselves, alone. You know, take any part of the body that we have and you cut it off and it's unconnected, it's kind of gross. But a part of the body, it's a beautiful thing that has a purpose and a part. So living out this idea of living out God's word, we stay connected in community. We stay connected to other believers. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25. He says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Now, one of the ways that we connect in community here at Eastlake Church is what we call growth groups. Now, growth groups are just smaller groups of people that meet outside of the weekend service. They're groups of about 6 to 18 people that come together, that do life together, that build relationships with one another. Some of them study God's Word together. Other of them just play and have fun and do activities, but they pray together, and the whole purpose of these is to connect in community. Now, it's summertime right now. I don't know if you knew this or not. If you didn't, just walk outside because it's a little bit hotter than normal. Whenever school gets back in session, we're going to be launching a whole new set of these growth groups. And I would encourage you over the next few weeks, just kind of be praying about connecting in community. And that might be your next right step. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Sometimes when we think of what is our next right step with Jesus, we're looking for some grand step. Like we're looking for some big, like, jump off a cliff moment, when it's as simple as just joining a growth group. It's just being connected to other believers might be your next right step. So when we launch these in a few weeks, I'd encourage you to join a growth group. Some of you, you've led growth groups, or you've been in growth groups in the past. You've been in that community, in that small group environment. Your next right step might be to step out and host a growth group this time around. Just to open up your home, or to say, I'll host a growth group at a Starbucks, or I'll host a growth group at another coffee shop, because if you don't like Starbucks, then, you know, Jesus loves everybody. Number five, we live out God's word by, number five, playing our part. We live out God's word by playing our part. You know, no one here is Superman. And we don't expect each other to be Superman. I mean, some of us look more like Superman than others, but no one's Superman. And we can't do everything. No one can do everything, but we can all do something. We can all play a part. We can all contribute. That's one of the things we like to say around here, this whole idea of playing our part, is that we can all be spiritual contributors, not just spiritual consumers. And we do both. We consume spiritually and we contribute spiritually. We play our part. We receive from the fellowship of other Jesus followers, and we contribute to this fellowship. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. Paul writes, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people." That's you. Their responsibility is to equip you, God's people, to do God's work and to build up the church, the body of Christ, to play our part. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. We live out God's word collectively as a church community and individually by playing our part, by contributing to the fellowship. Number six, we live out God's word by growing in generosity. We live out God's word by growing in generosity. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18. Paul's writing to Timothy and he says, "Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others." We live out God's word by living open-handed instead of closed fists. We live out God's word by being open and saying, in living generously and growing in generosity with our time, our talents, and our treasure. Number seven. I know the screens are off, but you can still write without them. Number seven, we live out God's word by revealing the kingdom of God. We live out God's word by revealing the kingdom of God. We live our lives not for ourselves, but we commit to live our lives for Jesus and for others. Now, whenever we say revealing the kingdom of God, we're saying that we're committing to show others how different God's kingdom is than this world that we live in, that's full of greed and selfishness. We're committed to pointing other people towards God, towards his son Jesus, by the way that we live our lives. I mean, let's be, as a church community, let's let our love, our compassion, and our radical generosity show how loving and compassionate and radically generous our God is with us. Our God loves us so much more than we understand, and he is radically generous towards us. Let us live in the same way towards others. You know, if you're not a Jesus follower, I want to let you know that Eastlake Church here is a safe place. This church is a safe place for you to come and just check out the claims of Jesus. To just try to investigate who he is. You belong here as a part of this community even before you believe in Jesus. But if you are a Jesus follower and you're a part of this church community, then you have been commissioned by God to reveal his kingdom. You've been commissioned by God to share the good news of Christ dying for us. He's given us a mission, and we live out that mission by loving others well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 and 20 through 21, says he, speaking of Christ, created a mountain, which is beautiful, by the way. No, I didn't take that picture. I'm just kidding. You can see it's on your notes here, and it's on there. You don't have to do it on the screen. Verse 15, he, Christ, died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. We reveal the kingdom of God by committing to live for Christ. Look at verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. We live out God's word by committing to live in a way that reveals the kingdom of God, by our love being on display for others to see how Jesus has loved us. We live out God's word by rejecting religion, by encountering Jesus, by living lights on, windows open, by connecting in community, by playing our part, by growing in generosity, and by revealing his kingdom. Now, all throughout this series, we've been talking about God's word. And I just want to, before we can kind of conclude this whole thing, I just want you to remember this key thing, if you remember anything we've talked about. Reading scripture is not just about having knowledge of God's word. It's about God's word changing us. It's about us encountering Jesus through reading it, by changing us so that we can live out his word. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would give each and every one of us a passion for reading, studying, and applying your word to our lives. God, our prayer is that we would live and love like you did. God, I pray that you would teach us to love each other and to love people that are outside of your kingdom the way that you love us. I pray that each and every one of us would dive into your word and see new things that we've never seen before, and that we would have an authentic encounter with your Holy Spirit that would change us. We're just going to kind of stay in an attitude of prayer, but you can open your eyes. And just kind of staying in this moment, in this mode of openness to God. Earlier today, I talked about this idea of rejecting religion. Some of you are like me. You grew up just feeling the burden of trying to get it all right and get it all perfect. The burden of religion. When I was a kid, I used to walk around all day long, and 50 to 100 times a day, I would pray this little prayer. God, forgive me of all my sins. Help me to never sin again. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'd pray it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, because I thought if I did one thing wrong and hadn't repented of it, I'd spend eternity in hell. Like, I just thought I had to do it right. I got to get it all right. I got to get it perfect. And I was carrying this burden and this stress of trying to get it all together, to get it all right. And that's religion. That's not what Jesus offers us. That's not grace. As I grew up and had a greater understanding of God's grace, began to read scripture as we read earlier in Matthew, that Jesus, he gives us this free and this light life. He doesn't want us to be scared that we're not going to make it. He offers his grace and his forgiveness so that we can be sure that his love is enough for us. Maybe you've come this morning and you've been carrying that burden trying to get it all right, trying to do everything perfect. Or maybe you came in and you've been carrying the burden of religion, just thinking, well, I can't really choose to follow Jesus yet because I got to get everything in my life right first. Jesus loves you exactly as you are right now. He's not asking you to get your life right to follow him. He loves you exactly as you are, but he loves you way too much to let you stay as you are. He wants you to choose to follow him, to begin a relationship with him, and then his Holy Spirit comes inside of us and begins to change us, begins to free us from the burden of religion. If you've come in this morning and you've been carrying that burden of religion, I want to pray for you so that you can maybe have a new encounter with Jesus and his grace. You can be free from that burden. Or maybe you came in and you want to follow Jesus today. I want to pray for you as well. Would you close your eyes again with me this morning? First, if you came in and said, yeah, I've been carrying that burden. I've been afraid that I'm not going to make it. I've been afraid that I'm not good enough. I want to release that burden of religion and I want to embrace grace. Would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you this morning? Awesome. Just keep them up for a moment. Let's make sure I see everyone. You guys can put your hands down. Maybe you came this morning and you've not chosen to follow Jesus yet. The most important relationship in your life is your relationship with Jesus. He has offered a free and open invitation for you to begin that relationship. This morning you would say you believe that Jesus died on the cross, you believe that he rose from the dead, and you want to begin this relationship with him today. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? In Scripture, it says that we choose to follow Jesus, we make it public. I'll be your public today as you raise your hand. Awesome. Awesome. You guys can put your hands down. Jesus, I pray for every single person who lifted their hands, who's been carrying around this burden of religion, thinking that they're not good enough, that they're not going to make it because they're not doing everything right and they have to be perfect. I pray this morning that you would show them how amazing your grace is for us. That you want us to live freely and lightly. You want us to learn the unforced rhythms of your grace. I pray that you would lift that burden this morning. That you would show each and every one of us just how much you love us. Just how big your grace is. God, those who lifted their hand and are choosing to follow you today, I pray that this morning, as they make this decision, that you would come around them, comfort them, and show them the way. God, we ask forgiveness of all of our mistakes and all of our sins. We believe that you died on the cross and you rose from the dead. We give our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen.